The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here alongside my co-host and producer, Scott Eckersley. Talking plenty of Michigan, Michigan State. We'll have Joe Rexroth from Lansing State Journal on at 10:30 to give you the Michigan State side of it. That we just got the Michigan side from Rod Beard from the Detroit News. So it's been good stuff.
64-60, Rod predicted Michigan win. How do you feel about that, Dave?
I would not be surprised at all. You know, Michigan State is such a Jekyll and Hyde team that I'm not surprised by any. I wasn't surprised by the Iowa game, and I wasn't surprised by the Purdue game.
I picked, if you look back, I picked Michigan State to beat Purdue. They had fooled me. I thought they had kind of turned things around last week.
They're so Jekyll and Hyde. It's really almost impossible to figure out what Michigan State team is going to show up. Now, I will say this. Playing at Michigan, and I agree with Rod here to a certain extent. Rod said that he thought Michigan was going to come out a little jittery. But the thing is, Michigan State has such a tendency to turn the ball over that even when you come out jittery, you've still got a very good shot to be in the game because Michigan State will keep you in the game.
Especially if Michigan runs that 1-3-1 zone. I said it before, I don't understand why more teams don't go zone against MSU. Because if you watch, they've struggled so much.
Look at the Syracuse game, the Michigan game. When you go to a zone, Michigan State doesn't know what to do. They don't know how to solve it. And so you're right. I don't understand it to a certain extent. You know, when I look at Michigan, they thoroughly outplayed Michigan State at the Breslin Center. And I don't think you can call that a fluke when somebody thoroughly outplays somebody for 40 minutes, okay? If you win, let's say you're down 10 the whole game, and then you go on a random run and end up winning the game, that could be a fluke. But when you, on the road, completely outplay your opponent, when the opponent claims that they were focused, to me, that is something that you can't ignore. So it would not surprise me at all if Michigan outplays them again.
It would surprise me a little, but it wouldn't shock me by any means. I mean, like I said, I got there late. I had to work here at the station. The game started at 7. I was working until 7. So I got there at about 7:15, 7:20, not too long into the game, still time left in the first half. I think Michigan State was down 4, and they never really got it any closer than that. It stayed that way the whole way through.
You know what was funny? I remember when I was watching that first game, and I think I was talking to you. I think I was texting you. And, you know, Michigan had hit some threes, but Michigan State kept going inside and kept going inside. And I, even though they were down 4 or 6, I kept thinking, I'm like, advantage Michigan State. Because Michigan eventually is going to cool down. And if you keep hitting twos while they're missing threes, eventually you are going to catch back up. And Michigan State was in that game until they went away from going inside. Something clicked inside them where they felt like they had to start trying to go 3 for 3 against Michigan. And if they get into an emotional feeling like that where they have to start hitting 3s for 3s, they're going to get in trouble. Now, if they go inside, I think they've got a great chance to run Michigan out of the building. I really do. But the problem is Michigan State's perimeter defense allowed all of those Michigan threes. Okay, it wasn't that Michigan was hitting crazy shots. Yes, Novak had a couple of crazy threes. I'm not denying that. But Michigan also had to go back and watch the film. Michigan also had a lot of open shots in that game. And that comes down to perimeter defense. So as much as they were hitting those shots, okay, Michigan State was providing them. A thing that I've always said about Beilein, even in his first year when Michigan was absolutely awful, you couldn't deny that other than making the shots, his offense executed to perfection. Okay, their screens that they set, the open shots that they got, they couldn't knock down open shots. But even from his first year, his plays that he ran in that offense worked. He got guys open. And you are seeing it now with his kind of players, and they're starting to make those shots. And I think that should be concerning to Michigan State, because if they can't D up on the perimeter, Michigan's going to make those shots.
It's one thing we talk about at halftime of the games when we go back into the press area. It usually turns into, well, name insert team here can't keep shooting this well. And I just looked at it. Michigan State is giving up 37% three-point shooting. That's opponents are shooting 37% from three against them. That's second to last in the Big Ten.
You just can't. The percentage cannot be that high.
Right, and it's one thing to say, yeah, they can't keep hitting these shots, but I expect college scholarship Division I Big Ten players to hit close to 40%, if not higher, of
open
threes.
If they're open. Yeah. And that's the problem is, yeah, you can sit there and say, eventually they're going to stop. Really what you should be saying is, eventually Michigan State's going to D up on some of these threes. You would hope. Problem is, it doesn't happen.
And getting back to your point of wondering if Michigan State will kind of get into that three-point shooting battle, which they do from time to time. You see what the other team's doing. You think you have to match. It happens. It, not just
Michigan
State.
Everybody gets caught up with stuff like that. Everybody does. Absolutely.
But the thing is that lately, and we talked about it last week, the Kalen Lucas takeover. It goes back to his sophomore year. It used to be the last 5 minutes, it was the Kalen Lucas show. He'd just say, no, this works for radio, but let's run this play. And it's the clear out. He would call it on the court, and it was the clear out. Now it's a high ball screen, and he just goes from there. And he's been getting into the lane a lot more. I think that's what they'll resort to rather than settling for jump shots.
Here's the problem with that, okay? And I totally agree with you. Kalen Lucas has been fantastic, okay? He's been absolutely fantastic. But I look at that Purdue game, okay? Kalen Lucas had a good game against Purdue, and they got run out of the gym. And when your best player is having a great game and you're still getting destroyed, that is very concerning. And so Kalen Lucas may have a good game again. But what if teams just start doing what Purdue did, which is basically, yeah, let him have his. That's fine. Because if Kalen Lucas scores 25, but the rest of the team scores 30, 15, something like that, you're still scoring in the 50s, and that's a major problem.
And it comes back to what Rod said of where are you going to get that second option. And that's what I'm interested with Joe Rexroad, who's coming
up. Yeah, I heard
him
say third option, and I was like, third? Where's the second option for Michigan
State?
And
that's what Draymond Green, I wonder exactly how healthy he is. He said his ankle was fine, but I've heard some mixed reports in the last couple of days, and that is the big thing. I mean, Keith Appling showed up huge on senior night.
Played great. Played great. The underclassmen in general played great on senior night. They did.
But it's just a matter of having that consistent other option. Second, third, fourth. I mean, if Mike Keebler is your second option, which it was against Purdue, yeah, it's not good.
We'll get Joe Rexroad's thoughts on this next. Lansing State Journal. We'll also talk more Michigan State in the final segment. Final half hour on the way. Weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.